You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 69 of Take a Bow. I'm your host, Eli Tokash, and today we have a very special guest who's also going to be co-hosting this episode.
Hello, my name is also Eli Tokash, and I'm going to I'm the host of this podcast.
This is already a mess. This is Oscar Williams, who is most well known for his role as Christian in Fun Home, and he's also been played Colin in The Secret Garden off-Broadway, and he also did the parade readings. So lots of stuff to talk about. And of course, we are live in our college dorms for everyone watching this on Patreon. Very exciting stuff. We're in the same room. This is my first live podcast with a guest and co-host. I'm honored Oscar gets to be that guest.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so let's dive into it. There's tons to talk about, okay? The TKTS booth is open, and we have over five Broadway shows going on
right now.
Yeah, it's Hadestown, it's Passover, it's Wicked, it's Hamilton, it's Chicago, and it's The Lion King. So there's
six.
Yeah, so over five Broadway shows. The lights are bright yet again here in New York, and it's very exciting stuff. Happy opening, by the way, to Chicago, which I just mentioned, but last week I said a little happy opening to Wicked, Hamilton, and Lion King, but I didn't realize that Chicago was opening, so that's on me, and I want to make sure I said it to them.
They must have been really hurt.
They must have been really hurt. Hopefully they didn't listen, which is a very high possibility.
No, they definitely listen.
Yeah.
Everyone and their mother listens to this podcast.
Yes, that's true. It's a very popular thing. And this, with Broadway reopening, it just happened last night where all of these shows reopened. And at Hamilton, of course, Lin-Manuel Miranda was there. Wicked, there was special appearances from Kristen Chenoweth, Stephen Schwartz.
Really?
Yes. Like, everything, last night, Broadway was, like, pop it, you know.
Crazy.
Like, it was back, you know. Like,
That's fantastic. They
made a really strong comeback last night. And of course, I mean, you think of Broadway and you think of those like six shows, it makes sense that like Broadway's opening back up with those
shows. The heavy hitters,
right? Totally. I mean, like, other than the ones that are open, the only other ones are like Comfort Way and Dear Evan Hansen, but yeah, those are the Hamiltons and the Wicked and the Lion Kings. Those are kind of your like your go-to Broadway shows, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense that Broadway's reopening with all this stuff, and it's very exciting. And speaking of Broadway reopening, Oscar and I actually saw the dress rehearsal of Lion King.
We did. We got to see the invited dress. Thank you so much, Vanessa. Vanessa Brown,
huge shout out,
getting
Vanessa
us tickets. It was so incredible.
Yeah, it was unreal. Just because it's interesting, because it's technically like not their opening.
No,
but like,
it was, yeah.
As an actor, it kind of feels like it is, you know.
And yeah, I mean, the house was pretty full. I mean, when we got there, so they had us get, it was weird. They had us like, if you were in certain areas of the seats, they had you get there 50 minutes early.
Right.
But we had to get there. We had amazing seats.
Yes, we did.
So we got there a half hour early.
Yeah, you every like section of the theater had like time slots of when you came.
Yeah,
it was
kind of odd. I don't know if the other shows are doing that.
I kind of appreciated it, though. It kind of made the whole experience a lot faster. I know Vanessa kind of got stuck in a line, but we didn't really get stuck in a line. So
no, I mean, that's true.
It was smart on them to, like, try to map everything out so that it could avoid as much.
And we had the whole aisle to ourselves for a second.
Yeah, we did. We did.
It was fun.
It was great. So Lion King was awesome. Huge shout out to them. Huge shout out to Vanessa, who was on this podcast, for inviting us us two college students along with her, just to annoy her and kind of wrangle us again for a night. And it was just awesome just to, you know, Julie Taymor, the director of Lion King, came out and gave a speech.
That was so cool.
I'll be posting
that
really
cool.
On
25
like,
years.
Yeah, 25
that was, years. It's incredible.
It's incredible. I was shocked. And it's cool, too. Like, 25 years ago, this woman director was about to direct one of the biggest Broadway shows, and that was probably not as common as it was 25 years ago. So it was very, very cool to like come out and see her. And I gotta say, like, curtain up and you hear The Circle of Life, it's just like, it's life changing. You know, like,
it was so good. It's been so long since I've seen Lion King.
Okay,
and you hadn't seen it yet. You'd seen it. Well, you saw it in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but it's not the same. You know?
It's
like,
not the same.
It's Broadway.
You know?
It's like,
no, and everyone was like on their game.
Right.
It was so good.
That's what I was saying. Like, as an actor, it's like everyone like felt like it was an opening night. Like everyone was on it. It was all family. It was all friends. Everyone knew each other in the audience. It was all like a bunch of people in the community.
There was though. When the show started, there was a crying
child
right next to us.
That was awkward. They did have to leave. But it made us for stories to tell.
Yeah,
so
good stories. Good
memories
stories.
And everything.
Actually, I remember you walked up to the child and told it to shut up.
No.
And I thought that was so mean. What you guys don't know, from living with him for the past, what, how long? It's been like a week and a half, almost 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
He's so mean.
I'm so mean. I'm the worst, actually.
He is. I don't, like, he's, you don't see it. He's forcing me to do this right now.
I am. Actually, when I asked Oscar, he was like, what took you so long? He was like so mad. I was like,
I'm very important.
But I told him, like, this was the plan all along. Like, I knew we were going to be roommates. I didn't want to do it virtually because it's just not as fun. So I thought it'd be good to do it with you.
Yeah, that's a nice cover story.
Honest to God, like, this is my first time recording since we moved in. I mean, you can attest to that. You've never seen me recording. Like, I just haven't since I moved in. So now, of course, it makes sense that you're my first one now that we're in college. So
it does make sense.
Yeah,
I will give you that.
It does make sense. Okay, leave me alone. Okay, so next topic. Beetlejuice is opening on Broadway.
Right.
Did you know that?
I like saw it on.
Okay.
I saw something on Instagram, and I was gonna. I don't know. I forgot to talk about it.
It's funny because Guy was over last night, and
were you guys talking about
it?
We
were talking about it, but I was like, shit, because I want to like see if Oscar knows tomorrow, because I want a raw reaction.
No, I know.
Yeah, you. I figured you knew. I mean, it was like, everywhere on social media. If you're like follow.
I only saw it one place.
Really?
To be fair, though, I didn't look.
Okay.
I wasn't looking at
it. So
that.
I'm very curious to see how this is going to go down as far as
who's
going to play Beetlejuice, who's playing Sophia Ann Caruso in Presley Ryan's role, Lydia. Who is playing Sophia Ann Caruso?
Who is playing Alex Brightman is the question.
Right. I mean, come on. Beetlejuice is Alex Brightman at this point.
I know.
But he's so good.
He has to
return, right? Like, who else are they gonna get?
I don't know.
They don't really need to get like a big name though, just because of how like
the show has such
successful,
a
successful.
Right,
yeah,
now.
The show is right.
The show's not successful because of. This is gonna sound bad, but the show's not successful because of like the names.
Right.
It's successful because people love the show.
Exactly.
And the people make the show. The cast makes the show.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be interesting to see who they bring.
I know. I'm very excited. I have to say, not to toot my own horn, that I did call this a while ago when they announced that they were closing and that Music Man had essentially just bought them out of the theater.
They're like, at the Marquee, right?
Yeah, they're now going to be at the Marriott Marquee.
That's
crazy. Going to be a new theater. I'm sure things are going to have to change. It's going to be interesting just to see how it all plays out. But I'm very excited. I don't know. It was a surprise, but it wasn't at the same time. I wasn't going to be surprised either way, but just because of how much, like, hype it had, like, at the time of closing, it just didn't make sense, you know? Like,
I know, yeah. It didn't make sense to close it just then.
Yeah. I mean, we saw the show together.
We did.
Of course. Like, we've basically seen every show together. So
we're adorable.
We're adorable. I'll never forget, like, I actually sat next to your brothers and like they were just dying, like, you know, like everyone, like I'll never forget like all 40 Beetlejuices on stage and just like the audience reacting. It's like one of those cool like musical theater moments that you just like don't forget, and you take a look around the audience to see how they're appreciating it, and it's like, it's really cool.
No, it was unreal.
Yeah, it's really good.
The set was incredible, too.
Incredible. It was fascinating. That's why I'm saying, like, I wonder how that's going to change from the Winter Garden to the Marquee Theater.
Well, they're both relatively large.
They are, but it's just not the same.
It's not going to be the same. I don't think the Marquee is huge.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I wouldn't know. I saw on your feed, but, like, it's not like I was like,
a while ago.
Yeah, I don't really.
You don't remember?
No, I don't remember. But, yeah, I mean, either way.
I've just seen so many shows, I can't remember all the things.
Yeah, yeah. Either way, it's going to be amazing. There's no doubt on that. For all of the kind of composers and for all of the kind of just artists that want to get a start in the theater industry and they're like trying to like post stuff on TikTok and kind of get their name out there, the Drama League officially launched a contest where you can create an anthem for the future of theater on TikTok. And they'll be considering all songs or anthems that are written and kind of have that. They don't have an anthem, actually. They don't have, like, a song you, like... I mean, of course, you have, like... When you think of Broadway and you think of theater, you think of, like, Defying Gravity. Or, like, they have, like, the iconic
or
Broadway
some
song.
Or some Golden Age song.
Right. But it's not, like, you
Cole
know...
Porter.
Like, baseball. You're, like, take me out to the ball game, you know? Like, you they all have those, like, songs that you kind of think of.
A banger.
Yeah, you know? So, I guess Broadway's looking for that now. Who would have thought? And you can submit that... from TikTok, which is an easy platform that most
tell
people,
us about TikTok.
No,
who knows? It sounds like a very niche thing.
Shut up. I know I don't mean to explain TikTok, but I am trying to say that like anyone can submit for this, and it's as easy as posting on TikTok. So if you're interested, get involved on Broadway and with the Drama League. That's a great organization to get involved with. And write the anthem for the future of Broadway. Yes, absolutely. Another exciting thing, casting for Trevor the Musical was announced, which is going to be off Broadway on October 25th, is opening. Congrats to everyone involved in the making of the show, but I also want to shout out those who were scheduled to do the show but were unable to rejoin it for various reasons, such as like college and voice changes and whatnot. Huge shout outs to them because I mean I was in their shoes, so I get what it is, I get what it's like, and this is just the beginning
voice,
for them.
Your voice used to be oh hi, it's a flute.
I know,
all the way up here.
I know. It kind of still is when I talk, but like not when I sing. But a special shout out to Luke Manicus, who was on this podcast before and kind of talk about his journey through Trevor and kind of what it was like to kind of play the waiting game as he was trying to figure out if he was going to be in it again or if he wasn't. So just huge shout out to everyone involved and congrats to my friends Ava Briglia, Diego Lucano, Mark Aguirre, and so many more who were casted. Yeah, Diego is
no
gonna
way
be in Trevor.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And of course Jared Zimmerman, who actually wasn't scheduled to be in it originally, but now he is, and he played my dad, which he's playing on Trevor off Broadway. He played my dad in Trevor in Chicago, so he's going to be reprising that role, which is really cool. And he's actually the only person to be reprising their role from Chicago. Yeah.
When was Trevor? That was that
20s. I want to say 17. I want to say it was 4 years ago. Is when I was a freshman in high school. So yeah, it would be a freshman. So it was 4 years ago. So congrats to Jared for reprising his role and being the only person that's doing that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all we have for the news this week.
The weather's a balmy 78 degrees right now.
I know.
It's kind of awful outside.
It's too hot.
It's so warm.
It's too hot. I don't like it. This is the thing about living in the city. It's like it's just too humid sometimes.
I know. It's ridiculous.
I know. But it's okay. We're going to think of the positives. We're in New York. We're going to school in New York. We're going to performing arts school in New York. We can't complain about the weather. Come on. We have too many things to be
about the weather.
We have too many things to be grateful for. Oh my god. Anyway, let's turn it over to the Drama Dictionary segment. This week's word of the week is actually going to be more of a comparison more than a word of the week, and that's going to be a rush ticket and a lottery ticket. So we're going to explain to you what the difference is between them, because some of you may know what these are, some of you may not, and some of you may know that they're just discounted tickets, but you're not really sure how to get them or what the difference are. So a rush ticket is where you wait outside of the box office before it opens, and they usually have about 20 to 30 tickets to sell, depending on what the ticket sales of that particular show is. So you go early to make sure you're guaranteed a ticket. You kind of go at like 6 a.m. because you want to be like first in line so that you get a ticket. It's like $40.
It's definitely a lot of work trying to get rush tickets.
It is a lot of work.
I remember my dad and I'm pretty sure... No, I don't think... No, we would play the lottery for Matilda, though.
Okay, so my parents, every time... Like, literally my entire family, sometimes, anytime they wanted to come see me in Pippin and Friday Neverland, they, like, waited in the rush line. And they had me come with them because, like I just did a show at, like, 12 o'clock, mm-hmm. and they had me go into the theater at 6 a.m., you know? Like, I'm like, no, let me sleep. And they're like, no, we have to get tickets to your show. And I'm like... No, but it is worth it if you get it, you know, like you can't beat it for $30, $30 to $40.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Get like front row seats sometimes. Like,
I wonder how that's going to change.
I know. I don't know. It seems like more shows are doing lottery, but it still seems that some shows are going to be doing rush. I know like they're trying to avoid crowds, but maybe they're like cutting it off after a certain number of people. The rush lines. I know Hadestown is doing a rush still.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
And so, but a lot of them are doing lottery still, which is kind of self-explanatory, where you participate with a bunch of other people and it's randomly selected or handpicked. You just put your name in and you kind of wait out to see the results. You're not guaranteed a ticket. So it's basically first come, first serve rush versus a lottery.
Can I
raffle.
Tell you something about the lottery?
Yeah.
So when I was auditioning, I auditioned for Matilda a bunch of times, as did everyone.
Sure.
But we saw Matilda like 4 times. Mm. Only on lottery tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we played the lottery, we won.
I feel like the Matilda lottery was, like, almost guaranteed. Some shows are, like...
No, lotteries are always guaranteed.
That is so not true.
They are.
Come on. Hamilton lottery? They're, like, 500 people and they have, like, 10 tickets to sell? They are not guaranteed.
Yeah, no, you always get it.
I mean, this guy doesn't need any more of an introduction. I've kind of introduced him enough here and kind of boosted his ego enough. And I feel like I'm going to do that a little bit more. But that's okay, because we're going to talk about his career and kind of what he's done on Broadway. So let's talk about it. You made your Broadway debut in Fun Home.
That I did.
And you're like just this kid coming from Vermont. And you're making your Broadway debut.
Just a hometown boy.
Yeah, just like you're just
from
like,
this hick town.
Right. I mean, you're just chilling. You're from Vermont. And then you get this opportunity to be in one of the biggest Broadway phenomenons of its time, like in 2015.
It really was. Crazy.
Yeah. And it's not like you had some like small little role, you know? Like you had a.
No, I mean, it was only a cast of nine people.
Right.
Which is so cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, talk to me about it. So, I mean, you did a ton of productions in Vermont.
I did.
Been doing it since how old?
Well, I've just been doing shows since I was 7.
So, what got you interested in doing shows?
I don't really remember exactly what got me interested. I just know that I started doing shows with this production company called Very Merry Theater
uh-huh.
in Vermont, which I also was doing shows after I moved back.
Uh-huh.
I still continue to do shows with them. I did shows with them for 10 years.
Sure.
And it's really great. I mean, it's not professional or anything. It's just this theater company that likes to put on shows for all these kids who want to do it. And it's a lot of fun. And the first show I ever did was a musical adaptation of The Hobbit.
Really?
Did I ever tell you this?
No.
With Very I was 7 years old. I played Elrond.
No way.
Yeah.
I don't even know anything about The Hobbit. I'm sorry, I'm uncultured. So I feel like we can't really talk about this.
Anyway. but I did so many productions in Vermont. And then when I was 9, I wanted to audition for this. They were doing Titanic.
Mm.
And this Lyric Theater was doing Titanic, which is another theater company in Vermont, which actually they use the Flynn Theater, which is the biggest theater in Vermont. It has about 1,400 seats.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty good. It's a pretty nice theater.
Sure.
And they were doing Titanic, and I was 5 minutes late to the audition, and they didn't let me in.
Oh, no.
And I was devastated. I was crushed.
I feel like that's typical Oscar fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they told me about my friend Amelia Mason, who I think I've talked to you about. I don't know
maybe
if you've met
her.
Maybe.
She sounds familiar, but I
But she's at Barnard right now.
Oh, okay.
So we'll probably hang out
wow.
at some point. But Amelia was in finals for Matilda.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the original cast
wow.
of Matilda. So she got to finals, and she was like, she didn't get it, unfortunately. I think she might have been like just hair too tall or something, because they were so strict
were so
back then.
Strict.
It was ridiculous. It was like down to like the eighth or something.
Jeez, a
whiz. It was kind of weird, but you know. But I heard about that, and my parents, they were like, it was like, oh, it's okay, but there's going to be other things, is what they were trying to tell me. But what I took from that is I was like, oh, I can audition. I can go to New York and
right.
audition. So for 2 years, I was auditioning, driving
wow.
down to New York. It was like driving down, or we would drive down and take the train from Albany. So it was usually about a 5.5 to 6 hour trip. And I would make this trip like in a month. So, I mean, sometimes I would.
Yeah.
But like I would go down 4 or 5 times in a month, and sometimes I would stay down and I would do multiple auditions.
Wow.
And it's... For 2 years, I was in callbacks for Finding Neverland too,
right.
and Matilda.
Yeah,
I was in callbacks for both of those shows when I got the audition for Fun Home.
Right.
So it's just I actually, you know what's funny, I turned down the first audition for Fun Home because I was doing both of those things.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I want to focus on these.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do that, and then they were still looking.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, I'll do this, and then a week, literally like a week and a half later, I got it.
Isn't that weird?
It's
like,
so.
It's
so,
just
it's,
some things are just so meant to be that it's just like it's just gonna find a way to happen.
Yeah, but it was so crazy. And Alison Bechdel, who wrote Fun Home,
sure.
lives in Vermont right now.
Right.
So there's that.
The huge full circle moment.
Yeah.
I love that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Well, okay, so, I mean, talk a little bit more about this. So, like, you're being...
No, we're moving on.
No, we're not, okay? You're a Broadway star right now, and you're in Fun Home.
Very good.
But, like, so you came from Vermont, and then you're doing Fun Home, and then you went back to Vermont, and then you've come back and forth, like... to do Parade, and I mean Secret Garden was around that time, and just auditions in
yeah,
general.
Secret Garden was in. I was still in Fun Home when I did
right.
Secret Garden.
Right. So I mean, just talk to me about like what it was like to. I mean, that time in your life, your like middle school career, you've kind of just split between like New York and Vermont. How tricky was it to like navigate
yeah.
everything? I mean, you're going from a performing arts school in New York to a like. Public school in Vermont, you know, like what's the difference? How was that experience like for you?
Well, Jeff, may I call you Jeff?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, it
what
was...
is that from?
I don't know.
Okay, continue.
Anyway, yeah, it was weird. I mean, I was only at PPAS for a year and a half, not even a year and a half.
Sure.
So end of sixth grade and all of seventh grade, I was going to school with you.
Right.
And It was so much fun because I got to do all these things that I enjoyed doing
yeah.
as a part of my curriculum, which is crazy.
Right.
And then I moved back. And then if I wanted to do those things, I would have to either take a specific class to do that or I would have to do it outside of school and just have it be an extracurricular.
Okay.
And my high school is very, like, extremely sporty.
Sure.
I mean, we, like, the boys' soccer team is, like, sixth in the country.
Oh, wow.
And it's crazy. And they have a good, like, they put some money into their theater program.
Oh, yeah?
But it's, like, it's not too much. There's, like, we got to do some all right shows.
Sure.
But it's just not the, it's, like, whenever I would come down to New York, I would see these shows. I would, like, do these cabarets, these, just these, like, fundraiser things sometimes.
Right.
And it's just so much, like, the energy here is unmatched.
Yeah. No,
and it's crazy.
True.
And it's just, yeah, it's been interesting trying to balance that. But now I live here.
But now you live here.
And it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic.
And things are already picking up for you just because you're, like, in New York, you know? Like, so there's just so much more opportunities here in New York.
There are,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, we've had auditions where it's, like, you have to be a local New York.
Yeah.
Like,
this is, so we got the same audition for the same project. So we did a self-tape last night.
Right.
And we, like, it's like, where are you based? Like, we're only looking at New York City based people.
Right. And it's interesting because, like, there are a lot of pros and cons to living in New York, but, like, the opportunities in New York and in LA, like, they're unmatched. Like, you'll just get, like, more auditions and more opportunities just by being here. So,
and,
like,
that just boosts your likelihood of,
yeah,
like, getting a job.
Right. And we were in the same boat. Like, you know, like, me coming from West Virginia to New York, my agent wanted to drop me if I wasn't going to come to New York and live. And
mm-hmm.
they ended up doing so. And that's why I'm with CESD now, because I wasn't willing to move to New York unless I had a job.
Oh.
So, finally, I got Pippin. Finally, I got Pippin.
Pippin?
Yeah.
Like the tea, Lipton?
Shut up. Finally, I got Pippin, and we were kind of just living up here, and literally, like, I had more auditions while I was in a show than I did, like, in, like, a year in West Virginia,
yeah,
you know?
I,
like,
I had a lot, quite a bit of auditions during Fun Home.
I know, and you're literally, like, working, and they're still, like, auditioning you, and
know,
it's just, like, there's so many benefits, like, for anyone, like, who's kind of, like, thinking of that jump to, like, oh, should I make it to New York, even if it's, like, for, like, a week or a month, or even, like, pilot season, like, consider doing it,
yeah,
consider doing it for just, even if it has to be a short amount of time where it's, like, I can't move because of financial reasons or family or whatever it may be, like, come out for at least a couple weeks. Find yourself an agent or a manager that's willing to send you or manager that is, like, willing to give you auditions in both New York and LA, and kind of take that next step, and you'll see just how many opportunities, and you'll find your niche.
I think it's pronounced different ways when,
yeah,
you're talking about different things.
I feel like it is too.
Which is so, it's so weird that, like, there's, like, different words.
There's so many words in English. English is stupid.
If we were unchecked, we would talk about this for,
oh my,
like,
God,
10 or 15 minutes.
Unbelievable. It would be so bad. But thankfully, we have class soon, so we have to keep this brief.
Yes.
On topic. Yes, so, like, you'll find that group of people that you will just, like, gravitate to, and you'll find your friends, and you'll find all of these connections that you start making, and, like, it just makes such a huge difference that if you really are considering it, you have to go all in, you know?
Yeah, that's true. If,
yeah.
There's no, like, you can't half step into it.
Right.
Because if you do, then you're going to half get the results.
Exactly.
You're
or not.
Or just not get results. And, like, even if you go full in, you, like, you can't expect results
right away.
Sometimes for a while.
Right.
I mean, sometimes for people it does happen right away if they just find the right thing for them and they get, I mean, a lot of it is, like, it's luck in the sense that there are certain projects that are right for certain people.
Totally.
So if there's a project that's perfect for you and you're just starting and, like, you happen to cross paths with those people, then that's great. That's, like, then that's good. Then it's sometimes it's luck getting the opportunities, and then you got to take it home. But if you're not all in, they can sometimes tell that.
Right.
And if it's, like, if they don't think that you're too serious about it, they're not going to want to work with you.
Absolutely. Good point. So, yeah, that's my spiel on that. Like, I know we had a similar scenario, but don't learn from us. don't come back and forth. It's not going to benefit you. It's just going to drive you and your parents mad. Yeah. And you're going to have to do a lot more self-tapes, which aren't as fun either. So if you're thinking about it, literally go all in. They're so bad. But they're okay because it's still opportunities.
Yes.
So, okay, like I said, you are a Broadway star, and you're in Fun Home, and you're kind of like, it's just the talk of the town. I mean, Fun Home, Finding Neverland, all of these shows that were like new with kids were kind of like
there were a lot when we were working.
It was fantastic.
School of Rock.
Boy, Matilda. I miss those times. But it's not like we could do it now anyways. Yeah. Like,
Now I'm like,
we need adults. Come on.
let's get young adult shows.
Let's get some like high school Dear Evan Hansen, but lower, you know? Just get some like teenage shows in here. Yeah, I mean, fun. Like Trevor's great and all, but it's kind of like
Trevor's
more
great and all,
school.
But here's the thing. It's just a terrible show.
What?
I'm
you haven't
kidding.
Even seen
I'm
it.
Just
get
kidding.
Out.
I'm just kidding.
Anyways, we're next. So as I was saying, you're a Broadway star and you're going to
Broadway star.
You're going to school in a performing arts in New York.
I am.
And you are also like doing all of these crazy events. You went on the View, you went on the Tonys, and like you were just like, I mean, we had like the Lights of Broadway Cards events and like all
those
these
were
fun like little things where you just like got to make your connections, you know, like here in New York. And talk to me about just like what it was like to balance all those things, but also to like, you know, think of it as a kid's perspective where you were kind of just like doing it and having fun, and you kind of like were like, oh yeah, I just have to get out of school early for this event to go perform on The View today. You know, like no big deal.
Well, Bill, it's interesting. It's so crazy, like doing that, because like when we were at PBAS, we would literally like, we had we would leave early on Wednesdays.
Right.
It was like almost scheduled out.
Yeah. I mean, it had to be. We had a matinee every week. We just knew that that was going to be the case.
Yeah. And PPS was super accommodating for that.
Right.
But The View, oh my God, I had to wake up so early for The View.
Really?
I had to be there at like 5.
Oh my God.
Because it starts at 6. So they wanted us to be there an hour early so that we could get some bearings. But yeah, stuff like that, those Broadway Lights Cards events.
Right.
Lion King would do those haunted houses.
Yeah.
The Gypsy Robe, the Easter Bonnets, all these things are just so like there's such like a community within Broadway that not a lot of people tend to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting getting to be a part of that, especially at such a young age. I feel like I learned how to talk to adults very quickly.
Right.
Because I would be at these parties and it would be like a show would be opening, a show would be closing, and all the adults would be talking, and then I just like be in the conversation sometimes, and I'm like 12 or 13. And I'm like, this is so weird,
but it's like normal for us.
It feels very natural.
Yeah,
now.
And then you look back and you're like, what was I? What was
like,
I
like,
doing?
Like, I must have looked so silly,
right?
Like I'm going, yeah, I think that this show's really important for the socio-political climate in America, because I just think, you know, I think we're telling a really good story.
Right.
I'm 11.
Right. Literally. But yeah, no, it's serious. I mean, I say it all the time that like, you know, not that we like didn't have a childhood, but like in a way, like, you know, you're working at night and you have rehearsals and you're doing that during the day. So you're literally like, you're going to school, then you're going home, you're sleeping, maybe taking a nap or doing homework, and then you got to eat, and then you got to do a show. I know, it's all good. And then you got to go do a show, and it's like, you don't have time for that, like, social life with your friends after school, or, like, doing whatever, like, you know, you had to miss out on all those things. But Broadway, like, in the community of it, just, like, did such a wonderful job in, like, giving us that childhood and giving us those fun events that we were giving back without, like, kind of even knowing that we were doing so.
Yeah.
And, like, when I look back on it now, I have, like, even a greater sense of, like, gratitude towards it, because when you think about it, like, the Lion King events, like, that was literally the adults in Lion King just being, like, let's invite all of the kids on Broadway.
It's so incredible.
Like, yeah, like that, those were adults trying to include the children as one and as like an equal. And it, I just think it was really cool. And I am forever grateful for just the Broadway community, like giving us that like childhood feel where we would be like, and then we can make friends from like other shows. Cause like some of us didn't have like a 6-person cast, like Finding Neverland, and a 20-person kid cast, like, Matilda.
Fun Home was just, it was just four of us at the beginning.
Yeah. So it's like,
and then it was six.
Right.
But like at that, it's still like, it's not too many people.
Right. And it's like, it's good to have like more friends and kind of opportunities to go hang out with other people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we would hang out a lot and just like, I mean, I would hang out with you guys a bunch too, just cause you know, we went to school together.
Right.
But that was, there's this park on 43rd that we used to go to.
Yeah.
43rd and 8th.
I always say that. The 43rd and 8th.
Yeah,
between 8th and 9th.
The Broadway Park.
Yeah, it's Broadway otherwise park. Known as the Broadway Park. We've kind of talked about that on here a bunch before, too. And, like, in between shows, you would go to that. Like, there are, like, a lot of cool things that the community does to, like, kind of give everyone a... allow you to feel like a regular child.
Yeah.
You know, like... And we are. Like, we're still regular children, just, like, performing shows at night, you know, like, so anyways, so then another really cool event that you were able to do was this iconic, was it the Gypsy Rose Road performance, or was it or Gypsy of the Year, or was it
Gypsy? We did the rock version of Ring of Keys.
Oh right,
so it was
the Easter bonnet was G Mr. Miranda, or like Dear Mr. Miranda.
That was so cool.
So
Vanessa wrote that.
Yes, I know. We actually talked to her about it. This is when Sydney was still on it, too.
Oh, yeah.
We had Vanessa on, and she was talking to us about it. But I want to hear from your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about performing a song that Vanessa, like, literally wrote to, like, not at Lin-Manuel Miranda, but, like, kind of, like, nudge like Lin-Manuel Miranda to, like...
It was at Lin-Manuel
Miranda. Like, I mean, like... And now you're
he
like...
He loved it.
He
was so nice.
But, like, you have to perform it right in front of him. Like, how difficult was, like... Was that even a thought? Or was it just like, yeah, I'm just going to go out?
It's very interesting. That's, like, one of the... Like, it was a lot of fun.
Right.
And it was a good performance. I'm proud of that performance. But I don't know if you know this, but it was lip-synced.
Really?
We were lip-syncing.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
We pre-recorded it. Because we were dancing. I don't know. It was
what?
For some reason we were doing a lot of things, and I don't think we had mics.
Wow. You couldn't tell.
Yeah, no, it looks really good.
You couldn't tell.
Actually,
at all.
Wait. No, yeah, no, we totally lip sync it. Like if you watch it again, you're gonna be like, oh, they're totally lip syncing.
Really? Interesting.
But it's so cool. No one really, and we got runner up.
Yeah. I mean, no, you guys got so much buzz from that performance. Just, like, Fun Home was, like, everywhere. That video was everywhere. It was almost as big as, like, the Skylar Sisters when, like, Josh Colley and Luca Padovan and Dougie Baldeo, like, did the...
Oh, I remember
that.
That,
like,
that was crazy.
Like, it was, like, it was a big deal, you know, like, your performance in that. But that's hilarious that it was lip sync. My whole life has been a lie. We've been lied to. We're still waiting for that musical that you kind of added him at. And speaking of Lin-Manuel Miranda, you actually did a Tony performance where you played
young Lin-Manuel
Miranda, which is like crazy.
That was a crazy like audition too, because I just like walked in and talked to them for like 5 minutes.
Okay, so what is an audition like for the Tony Awards? Like what? Like how does that work?
It was so weird. It was just like an interview.
Okay,
but it was like 5 minutes. They were like, because they just need to like get a look at you,
right?
And then they're like, so what do you do? And I go, oh, I'm talking about this. And I talked about how I know Lin because I knew what they were looking for.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm like, yeah, you know, could be fun.
Yeah, you know,
but,
like I did the hymn for him.
I just sang a song to him. I mean, I don't know. He's my voicemail.
Right.
He is your voicemail.
Really, oh, my God.
But that was so fun because backstage, all the other kids, because they had kids for every nominee.
Right.
Everyone was, like, backstage, because it was at the Beacon Theater. Everyone was backstage waiting. Uh-huh. But there wasn't enough space, so for the Best Actor nominees and the children playing the Best Actor nominees, we got to wait in the green room.
Oh.
With Lin-Manuel Miranda, Leslie Odom Jr., Alex Brightman, Danny Burstein, and Zachary Levi.
That's insane.
Insane, right?
Insane.
I spent like an hour with them.
No
way. It was
so
cool.
That is amazing. Is that when... No, that wasn't when the voicemail happened.
No. That was something else. But there was... And also that day when I went for lunch, I think I got... I don't remember what I got for lunch, but I saw David.
No way!
Well, I saw David at lunch and he goes, oh, hey.
Oh my God, that's
that
insane.
Was a crazy day.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Was it like, tell me about it. Like, did you have to, like, wake up at an absurd amount, like, hour of the day to, like, go rehearse your little...
Oh, no, it wasn't. It really wasn't too early.
No?
But they had... We did have to, like, be there 2 hours before the program started.
Sure.
Because they just wanted us there. But, like, we were all, like, behind. We got to, like, see, like, them set up the red carpets and stuff. And we were just behind there. And all the nominees, we got to like, hear and, like, listen to them rehearse their numbers as well. It was just so... It was so cool.
That's awesome.
And it was, like... It's, like, I'm, like, on screen for 3 seconds.
Who
but
cares?
It's, it's, like, that experience... was, like, one of the most memorable moments.
Let me know how many people can say they played Young Lin-Manuel Miranda, okay? Let me know, because that is pretty cool. That's, like, something not a lot of people could say, and that's something that you have done.
Okay.
Yeah, you should be bragging about this. It's okay. It's fine. I get it. I'm the same way. Okay, so, I mean, of course you've done, like, there's so much to talk about, but let's move on, and let's talk about the Secret Garden.
Yes.
So this Secret Garden, this was absolutely bonkers. Okay, this cast, this everything. You've worked with some pretty cool people.
I've gotten to work with a lot of really cool people, and I'm so thankful for that. Like Ramin Karimloo and Sierra Boggess.
Ben Platt.
Come on. Yeah, Ben Platt.
Who else?
It was crazy. Jerry Shea, Daisy Egan.
Right.
She played Martha, which was so heart wrenching. Josh Young, Nikki James.
Oh, right.
Just all these people.
Yeah.
And it's just Kevin Chamberlain.
Right.
Kevin Chamberlain. Well, he did Parade, but yeah, that was like just all these people.
Yeah.
It's just insane. Will Swenson.
It's insane. And like Lin-Manuel Miranda that you can like throw in there too, basically.
I mean,
yeah, you know, like who's that again?
Who?
I've never heard of Hamilton.
Manuel Mandy?
Yeah, what? But no, you actually, this was a piece that you actually revisited, right?
Yes.
Because you did Secret Garden in Vermont. And you played that same role.
I did.
So talk to me. Talk to me about what that experience was like for you. Obviously, it was a very odd, not like odd experience, but it's like a... It's a different experience because it's like a one-night concert. You've got your scripts with you. It's like a reading, but it's a show at the same time. Like, was it like anything you've ever done before? Like, talk to me about the process and everything.
Yeah. Secret Garden was only a week, actually.
Yeah.
It was a week of rehearsals, and then we had one night. It was two shows one night.
Right.
And it was just like, it was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone had their lines memorized.
Okay.
But for staged readings like that, the actors have to, the book has to be touching you.
Got it.
Like, it has to be, like, you have to be touching the script.
Sure.
Because it's not technically a live performance.
Wow.
So, there's some weird, like, union contract things.
Sure.
That you have to deal with. But getting to work with them, and Stafford Arima directed it, and it was, he's one of the sweetest.
Really?
People in the world. He's so great, and he's a genius.
Yeah.
And it's like, just getting, being able to do that, and plus, I had done it already.
Right.
So I knew
you
a
were
lot
already
of, comfortable. I knew a lot of the stuff. I had done it, like, I had done it before, I hadn't done it in a while, but it's like, it's muscle memory, basically.
Sure.
Like, if you give each of us, like, a day or two, I'm sure we could remember our tracks.
Really?
In shows that we, I'm
oh,
sure
yeah,
we
yeah,
put
yeah.
our minds
no,
to
No, yeah,
it.
I see what you, sorry, I didn't let you finish the sentence.
What the hell?
I'm sorry. Right. That's my fault.
But yeah, it was so cool. It wasn't like I was learning a whole new thing. I had a dialect coach again.
Sure.
That was fun. And it was surreal. A 200-person choir behind us. That was like, looking back on it and watching those videos, I'm like, wow, I'm not going to do something like that again.
Right.
And Secret Garden is just so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. The whole show, the music,
everything.
Cheyenne Jackson.
Oh my god, no way.
I was forgetting. I knew I was forgetting someone.
Wow.
For me and Caramelu and Cheyenne Jackson singing Lily's Eyes.
Oh, I can't
imagine.
That's incredible.
And there was, so we were doing tech, and my character was in a wheelchair for most of the show, and Sierra had to wheel me out. And there was one rehearsal where she just couldn't stop hitting the edge of the orchestra.
Oh, no.
So she was just like, it was just really funny. It was like during tech.
Oh my god.
So
she didn't do it during the performance though, right?
No.
That's all that matters.
No.
Tech,
who cares?
Yeah. No.
No,
about
she's
it.
A professional. She's a professional.
Yeah. Oh my god. Come on. Sierra Vargas? Come on. I never heard of her. but yeah, that is like, you know, there's a few productions in New York that I've always been like, oh, like that's one show that I wish I could see, but like I was in Finding Neverland at the time while also doing Secret Garden with Gabby.
Right.
Like at that same time.
Yeah, we did that. We did those right after. Because
right.
You did it with Gabby and then I did it with Sydney.
Right.
And it's just that was a crazy.
It was a crazy like month.
I saw that.
You did?
I did. Yeah, I saw it.
Why wasn't I allowed to see your production then?
You
there
probably
was something
had a show.
Going. Oh, okay. There was something
I think you
on.
Did yours on a Monday or something.
Yeah, we did.
Ours was on like a Saturday or Sunday night.
How did you get out of your show?
I called out.
You and Sydney called out?
Yeah.
Or Sydney wasn't in the
Sydney
show
wasn't
anymore?
In Fun Home at that point.
Wow.
Yeah, that was really like, there were only like two or three shows that I'd called out for, and it was that, and I also called out for the tech rehearsals.
Wow.
That, and then I was sick once, which is awful. I got
terrible.
Laryngitis.
Really?
So bad.
During Fun Home?
Yeah, during Fun Home. During the Sunday show. It was a Sunday show. I started losing my voice. And just on Monday, I was gone.
Really?
I went to the doctors. They gave me vocal steroids, and I was able to, like, perform on Tuesday.
Wow.
It was cool.
That's crazy.
Actually, no, I wasn't able to perform on Tuesday. I had to call out
for
Tuesday.
But yeah,
but on Wednesday
yeah.
I was able to come back.
Wow.
That was fun.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But, wow. Good for you, like, for going to the doctor, though, and being like, instead of just being like, oh, I'll wait it out, like, see what happens, it'll come back, and, like,
you never know
when that's coming back, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so tell me about the pros and cons of doing a one-show, like, one-night production. Like, you had two shows, one night. Tell me about, like, you know, do you feel like you could do it more? Do you allow yourself to get attached to the production? Like, what, like, I mean, it's just completely different from doing, like, a full, open-ended show.
It's like a marathon and then a sprint.
Right.
It's like you can go, not saying that people don't go all out every night for Broadway, because they do, but there's certain things that you can do, like for roles that are really taxing, people have to like take their time, and like they do the show at night because that's their job and they don't do much else.
Right.
But with these one show things, like we had gatherings and like these meet and greets and stuff that we were able to do before and after the show, because we didn't have to do them later.
Sure.
So in that sense, it's almost like you get to do it. You do it once and then you're done. So there's not too many stakes, but it sucks because it's like with shows like that, usually the cat, like everyone's just so like at the top of their game and like so good at what they do.
Sure.
They just want to keep working with them.
Right.
And also they're just all great people.
Yeah.
But it's and I love Secret Garden so much, so I would so do that show in a heartbeat.
Totally.
But in that sense, it's kind of weird doing it just once.
Right.
But
kind of just like all of a sudden it's like there and it's done.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah, it's fair. It's definitely it's so different.
Right.
And like it's usually just a week of rehearsal.
But I will say, like those casts in those like one night productions are like
always,
kind of unbeatable.
They're always insane.
Yeah,
they're
no,
always.
I mean,
insane.
You heard it. We heard the cast: Sierra Boggess, Ramin Kailulu, Cheyenne Jackson, Ben Platt, all these incredible people.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, incredible. All right. Speaking of Ben Platt and like working with him, you also did the parade readings,
yes.
Which is like. Like, what is it? Like, is it, like, a revival, like, trying to come to Broadway, or, like...
So, Parade, I don't know what they have planned for,
okay.
But Parade was, it would be a revival. It
right.
was on Broadway, I think, in 1999. It was written by Jason Robert Brown and
right.
Alpha Fury.
Which, I've always said, like, it's one of the most like underrated musicals, but like is now finally coming around, and it seems like it was always ahead of its time.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
It tells the true story of Leo Frank.
Yeah,
which is just that's like a whole other can of worms. You can find podcasts about that story.
Right,
but it's just so important. And it's so, like, and the music is gorgeous.
Yes.
It's so good. I love it. It's I think it might be my favorite musical. I just love it so much.
Yeah.
And just getting to do it, and Michael Arden directed it, and he's ridiculous.
Wow.
He's so talented, and he's so great. And, like, he was talking about if/when they are able to get funding for that production, he was talking about what he would like to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was back in 2019. So this is a few... 2019? It may have been 2018, actually. It's been a while, but, you know, things have been going on. Broadway closed.
What?
But it's, yeah, I mean, I'd love for it to come back.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a part of it. That'd be ridiculous. I think it's important. I think it's an important musical. And also Ben as Leo Frank, and Michaela Diamond was Lucille Frank.
Yes.
They were
another stellar cast,
yeah.
You know, like
that cast was also insane.
Yeah. Ben Platt, Michaela Diamond, Kevin Chamberlain, Oscar Williams, of course. Can't forget that name. Yeah, no, but yeah, like, again, like I said here, like, I mean, what does this show mean to you? I feel like we can all agree that Parade deserved better, and it's did on Broadway. Like,
it did. I don't think it was shocking.
Yeah.
And a lot of people weren't ready to see something like that.
Right.
Because it's hard to watch.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I feel like it was always ahead of its time. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, it just, like, it came out at a time when we just weren't ready to have that conversation.
Yeah. The Tonys, like, they won the Tony for Best Book and Best Score.
Right.
But
it lasted for all of what? Like,
a
couple months. It, like, that
it might have been, like, 100 performances.
Yeah.
It closed super early on. And, which is such a bummer, because it's so fantastic. But the show's changed a little bit since then. It's like there's a lot of harsh language,
yeah,
that they've toned down a little bit in service of just,
sure,
keeping the story. But I think it would be perfect for the, like, in the next few seasons.
Yeah. I had a,
and also me selfishly saying that
you would love to.
I would love
again
to do it.
Yeah,
it
I know.
It was one of my favorite things that I've ever done.
So I talked to Carolee Carmello on this,
yes,
podcast, who was in the original production of Parade and actually,
yes,
got a Tony nom for it.
She did.
Yeah. And so,
and I think she should have won.
I know. I think she should have too. She actually... No, I don't think she did. I don't think she won. It was a nomination. But she was talking to me about it and just was like, this show needs to get revived and all of these things. Like, so it is something that is wanted in the theater world,
yeah,
especially from the community of artists themselves. I don't know. I can't really, like, I haven't heard much from an audience standpoint, but just getting it out there, I feel like, is just, like,
I feel like there's not
important.
Much of an, I feel like not too many people know about it.
I know. That's why I'm saying, like, I just want to get, like, the fact that there is a Parade reading going on. There's
but, like,
a chance
but
of
like
a revival.
People would know about it if they announced the revival with Ben Platt.
Right.
Like,
that's true. I mean, I don't know if, like, that's actually a possibility, though. Like, because, like I said, like, those, like, one-week things with, like, Secret Garden, you can usually get,
no,
like,
I
a,
mean, yeah,
a crazy cast together for a week, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, a long-term thing, you know?
Yeah.
He's got his music career
he does
to worry
have
about now. You know, he's going on tour. Like,
yeah, I think that's also another one of the reasons why it never fully took off.
Interesting.
Because they wanted as much of that cast that they could get.
Right.
And people, oh, and, like, Mallory Bechtel was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Renee Rapp.
Oh, my God.
She got Mean Girls.
Stop. I love Renee Rapp. I love her boyfriend, Antonio Cipriano. Like, he's a king.
Yeah, they're great. They're,
yeah,
both ridiculously talented. But she was in it, and there was a bunch of other, Mia Sinclair.
Yes.
Brooklyn Shock.
Oh, my
Shock.
God. Oh, my
just
God.
All these people. It was so much fun.
I love it.
And it wouldn't be that same cast, but I think...
That would be an expensive cast.
It would be an expensive cast. Now, especially now.
Right. Now that everyone is, like, a lot bigger.
Yeah, no, it'd be an expensive... But, like, I still think they should bring it back.
I agree. I think it's something that's needed, especially, like... You know, we see a trend of, like, a lot of conversations, you know, surrounding the Black Lives Matter movement, rape and sexual harassment and everything. Like, these topics that kind of were difficult to have, and they still are difficult, but because they were difficult, we kind of ignored them. And now they're finally coming to a point where it's like, no, like, let's have these difficult conversations. Yeah. And I feel like in today's climate with where we are and the whole Harvey Weinstein's kind of things and the, you know, there's, I mean, a lot more.
again, different type of podcast.
sorry. But yeah, like, I think that it's something that, like, should be back on Broadway and is a story that should be told and a story that, like, is relevant to today's
world.
No,
it totally is. And it's also, like, it's true stories, right?
Right.
It's history.
Exactly.
I feel like people need to understand, like, we need to understand what has happened in this country in order to fully move forward. And Parade does such a great job of illustrating incredibly nuanced things that have happened.
Absolutely. It's interesting. The past 2 weeks, I'm trying to manifest two revivals on Broadway, and that's Parade and Legally Blonde. So two very different types of shows. Yeah, you weren't expecting that one, but it's interesting because I'm kind of just like,
you're just
giving
me whiplash.
What? Why?
It's just so Parade and Legally Blonde are just not two shows.
They shouldn't be in the
together.
Same sentence. I'm really sorry for anyone that feels offended by that, but at the same time, like, both of these things need to happen, in my opinion. And, of course, Abby's and your opinions, because Abby was our last week guest, who kind of was like, oh, I want to produce it. And I was like, revive it then. Like, do it. But, yeah. So, let's see what else I have here. So, okay. Oh, yes. So, now talking more a little bit, like, not so much about, like, your career, more about, like, you as an actor. I mean, living with you, you take your vocal practices and your vocal warm-ups very seriously on a daily basis. Explain a bit about, like, kind of what you do and why you feel it's so pivotal for your voice to grow and to be where it is today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I try to warm up every day, and it's been less consistent now just because starting school is tough, but I need to get back in the rhythm of it. But there was a period of, like, there was, like, a three-month period where I didn't warm up and I wasn't really singing either just because of the pandemic.
Sure.
And I got an audition and I was trying to sing this song, and I basically, like, couldn't.
Wow.
Like, I didn't really sound good. Or, like, I was fine, but it didn't, like, there was no, like, power or support. I didn't have anything.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I need to, like, because it's, I mean, your voice is a muscle.
Yeah,
you need to keep working.
Retrain them, yeah.
You just retrain them. You gotta keep them going.
Yeah.
Keep them lubricated, drink some water.
Right.
And you just gotta keep going. And it's, I have to, like, make, like, if I don't warm up, I'll, like, I mean, if, and everyone should warm up. Everyone should do vocal exercises. It's like a workout.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, like, I never really had voice lessons until, like, my voice changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like vocal warm-ups are, like, more important than, like, singing, like, songs.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, trying to just be like, oh, what's a song that I can sing? And if it's, like, high, then it's good for my voice and it can, like, stretch it. But, like, that's not always
but,
the case.
But warming up is, there's, like, and especially, like, voice teachers know, like, exactly what warm-ups, what they do to your
right.
vocal cords and just your body. And it's like, you can sing a song to do a warm up, but it's like, it's not really the same thing.
No.
It's different because you're performing, I think.
It's also more just about those
Yeah.
You have to, like, train the specific muscles. Like, each warm up
yeah.
is different for,
like,
your mouth.
Like
your
lip
voice.
Trills.
Yeah.
Lip trills loosen up.
Exactly.
Loosen up the muscles, it releases tension. And you can't exactly do that if you're trying to belt A's and B's.
Totally.
Like, because then that's so much tension that in order to do that, you need to have it be loose enough.
Totally.
I'm talking as if I'm
you're like a
if
vocal
I'm a,
coach,
if I'm
right
a vocal
here.
Teacher, which I'm not.
I know, you pay $200 for this in New York.
Take everything I say with a grain of salt. I don't know how, I might probably don't know how anything works. So
no.
What I do know is that vocal exercises are important, and if you want to keep your voice in shape, you definitely should do them.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do them daily, but, like, a couple times a week.
Yeah.
And, I mean, daily's best, obviously.
Right.
Because
you'll see a quicker result.
You'll see quicker results, and your voice will just bounce. it'll be in a place that you want it to be more.
Right.
But yeah, that was your spiel.
That was
a good question. That was my spiel.
Thank you. I'm just trying to like help our readers and listeners at home. So
readers.
Yeah, our readers. That's kind of like what they call them in the podcast realm. Like our readers.
But I thought people listen to podcasts for the sole purpose of not reading.
I know. I don't understand why they say it, but I don't know. That's
I think
just
it's
like
stupid.
The term. I know. I think so too.
Podcast. You know what? Podcasts are stupid.
You know what? I appreciate your honesty in that, but I really do take personal offense to that because actually I know for a fact that they're not stupid because you wouldn't be doing it right now if you really thought they were stupid. So
yeah.
Actually, yeah. You have nothing to come back with that, so I really stumped you. Okay. Pace University and Performing Arts School. Similarities, benefits, recommend. Talk to me about, you know, so now you've been to multiple performing arts schools in New York. You've also gone to non-performing arts schools.
Yes.
Do you feel yourself benefiting from a performing arts school? Do you recommend others who are out there in the world to, if they're interested in theater, to go try and go to a performing arts school? Or do you really think it's maybe something that you can do elsewhere on your free time or whatever? What do you think?
I think if you want to be in this industry and you want to be in this business, mm-hmm. you definitely should at least somewhat in like college or just try in your school to be in the performing arts aspect. And depending on your interests outside and how much you value your free time,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, performing arts programs are the place for you. Cause I know for me, I was at UVM this last semester.
Right.
And I was a theater major, but I didn't take any theater classes because I wanted to get credits for Pace.
Right.
And I was taking all academics. I had a lab science, a history class, English, a public speaking, and a statistics class.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so awful.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I was missing doing that things and having like theater built into the curriculum.
Right.
For me, is just so nice because I haven't had that in like 5 years and I've missed it so much.
Right.
And like having gone to a normal high school, I'm like, I'm good. I got normalcy. I'm ready to get a piece of I'm ready to get my BFA.
Right.
And with Pace is so great because they have a lot of different programs and they still make you take foundational courses. So it's not like you're not taking academic classes. I wish I wasn't, but you
right.
Because I'm in a computer science class right now.
Oh my God.
It's so bad. But I have to take it because they want the students to be well-rounded.
Sure.
But it's so fun.
Yeah.
It's just like you're doing what you enjoy. It's like going to school. Like if you enjoy coding, if you're going to school for coding, you're doing what you enjoy.
Right.
If you are a painter and you're going to school for painting, you're painting all the time. It's what you enjoy. That's the same goes for theater schools and performing arts schools.
Totally.
Like, I love doing musical theater. I'm going to school for musical theater. My classes are musical theater classes. So I'm really enjoying myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also getting, especially with Pace, they have a lot of adjunct professors.
Right.
So they have a lot of people who are in the industry. There's a lot of connections you can make.
Totally. And that doesn't go just with the teachers. That also goes with all the students.
Yes.
I mean, like you said earlier, like, you know, you did a reading with Renee Rapp, who was Renee Rapp, not Renee Rapp, you know? Like,
yeah, like she was Renee Rapp, but she wasn't Renee Rapp.
Right, and I feel like everyone at a school of performing arts are kind of in that same boat, you know? Like
they're all so talented.
They're
it's
all
ridiculous.
So talented, and they all have potential to be the next Renee Rapp or
yes.
whatever you want to be. Oh my God, her voice is just ridiculous. Renee Rapp fan base. So literally the connections that you make, like I said, like you could wake up next day and your classmate could be like the next. I mean, we did it. We saw it firsthand with Chris Richards. Like he came in
yeah.
to middle school, sixth grade. Like he like was like talking to us like we were like some like hot shots, you know? Like he was like, oh my God, you were like, you're in Fun Home and you're in Pippin and oh my God. And then all of a sudden, like, he gets Finding Neverland, and we are in the same show together, and then he's now this movie star, you know, or
I know,
TV star.
Crazy.
Like
it's been crazy
yeah,
watching him blow up.
You just never know, like, the next, like, everyone in the performing
no,
arts
yeah.
world, and they've worked too before, like, so who do they know, and, like, how can you, like learn from them. Like you can always learn, you can always make connections, and you can always just like just have these experiences that you wouldn't have anywhere else.
And going to school with like-minded people,
right,
is such a refreshing experience. And like you get that at college no matter what, because you choose your major,
right,
and you're going to take classes with people who also picked that major and have picked these classes.
Totally.
But still, in a performing, in a BFA program, there's just something about it that's like, we all do the same things. We all have the same goals.
Yeah.
And we all love doing what we do. And like Pace has a straight acting program and a film acting program as well. So there's, I don't know why I'm telling you. I know you know what they have.
No, it's great that you're
saying,
telling me this stuff, because they're going to get the same.
Yeah, saying it for the readers at home. I feel so weird saying
that. I know, I do too.
But it's, it's just, if that's what you want to do, I recommend, you know, auditioning for them, trying out.
Yeah.
Just like see, and like not every school is right for you. Like Pace, I think I mesh really well with Pace.
Totally.
But I didn't audition for Michigan, but they have an insane theater program.
Oh my
as well.
God, insane.
But when I did more research on it, I was like, I don't know. I feel like I would fit better with this program.
I agree.
And it's you know, different programs are for different people. And a lot of schools have great BA theater programs as well.
Totally.
So it's like, it doesn't have to be a BFA, but it's art schools. Definitely. If you enjoy doing that, it's definitely a nicer experience. At least for me, it has been.
Definitely. Especially because like, you know, like where we come from, it's like sports, you know, like it's centered around, you know, not the arts almost, especially where I'm from. Like there's the nearest theater is an hour and a half away. So like, yeah. So like, it's just like not a thing if you don't like go, if you're not on the football team or your basketball team.
It's interesting with Vermont. Like there's a lot of theater in Vermont.
Really?
Like outside, but like my high school was just not really.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
So it's like, you know, you want to find those where you fit in and like mm-hmm. where that place is for you, that you feel comfortable and you feel like you're going to be tested but also comfortable and that you're going to be able to succeed in.
Yes.
And I feel like that's most important, especially like you said, with performing arts schools, you also have to be very particular on the major and the courses, but you also have to be, you want to do a little bit more research on like, oh, like you could have like an NYU or Michigan where they're just like not going to let you work, you know, like,
yes.
And if that's something that you want, you kind of just want to focus on studying, then those are the places for you.
Yeah.
But when you have like places like Pace that's willing to like,
let
you're
you
going to be in the
back,
city and you're
going
to have
amazing.
All of these opportunities and leave and come back. And Elise Scarpacci is doing it right now with Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
And who's been on this podcast before. So like we've all
Elise.
Like, yeah. So like it's great. Like, yes. Oh my God. That's your big sibling in college.
Annalise and Mitchell.
Yes. Mitchell Sink, of course. And so there's a lot of factors that go into it that you may not realize originally, but these are all things that you need to take into consideration when looking into performing arts schools.
Yes.
If that is something that you are interested in, want to do in the near future. So
yes. And also when with programs like Pace, MIU, and Michigan,
right,
they're with especially competitive BFA programs.
Sure.
I feel like we make the most progress ourselves. Like personally, I know I get better when I'm working like Secret Garden, working in Secret Garden, Fun Home, and Parade. Like after each of those experiences, I myself as a performer, I just got better.
Right.
Because
you surround with people that you are Larry.
Like I think in any, this goes for any field, but especially for performing arts and theater,
yeah.
You want to surround yourself with people who are talented, who know what they're doing, and who have a good work ethic,
right?
Because that'll rub off on you, and you can learn so many things from people in your program, from the professors.
Totally.
And it's just, I mean, you should learn stuff from your professors, but I think it's also, you learn so much from the people in your program because they're all so talented.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, I think that's another plus for performing. Another point for performing arts school.
Another point for performing arts school. You know, and going back to the whole living in New York situation, with Oriole, of course. Like any
living,
of the big
living ones. Living with you has been exhausting.
It's been a dream come true, Oscar, and you know it. So and another pro about it, not only will you get opportunities and auditions and everything, but you're also surrounded by the Broadway yes. community and yeah, the theater are. Community in general. So talk to me about, like, you know, when we go see these shows, we saw Lion King, we saw Passover, we saw like these shows, and of course we've been doing so for the past many years. Many years. I don't even know if that like made
so
sense.
Many
past
years.
Many years. Anyways, so how do you like view that? How do you like when you go to a show, are you like going to a show to like enjoy it and just have the entertainment aspect of it, which is like kind of why you do go to the shows, but are you also looking at it as a what can I learn from this show and what can I learn as an actor but also as an audience member but also as a creative person in the industry in general?
Well, Matt, I'll tell you, it's I love going to shows mostly because like it's almost research in a way.
Yeah,
you get to see
it's
what
like
people do, you get to see, yeah, it is. It's like going and studying something, seeing what people do, imagining what you would be doing if you were up there, if you had that opportunity, and like just taking things that you've seen other people do and applying them to your own work.
Totally.
I know I've done that, and we've been so lucky to see so many shows.
Yeah.
And it's really crazy. And I feel like we're both better performers for it.
Totally.
Which is also why everyone should watch movies, watch TV shows, especially if you want to be an actor.
You can only learn, you know?
Yeah.
You're not going to like, if you're watching a TV show or a movie just to like watch it to go on your phone and have it on in the background, then like you probably shouldn't be watching it, you know? Like, you know, like, but with like Broadway shows and you're like paying all this money, it's like, it should be a crash course, and it should be
yes.
like, it should be an opportunity to not only be able to learn from all these opportunities, but also to be entertained and to get a gist of what it's like to be on Broadway and to be in a Broadway house again and like experience it.
That
from
was
an,
so crazy.
Yeah. And like experiencing it from an audience perspective so that when you are an actor, you remind yourself of why you have to go full out every night, you know, like
that's yeah. Whenever I see shows, I'm always like, I get this kick of motivation.
Right.
To be like, when, like, if I get the chance to be back doing that, I need to,
every
I need
night.
To grind.
Every night.
I need
yeah.
to, I need to have that energy. I need to give people the same feeling that I'm feeling right now.
Absolutely.
It's also just like, it's so much fun to watch them.
It's so much fun. You also go for entertainment, of course. Like,
I mean,
you
yeah.
just have to. You can't like not.
No, I show up
to
Lion King with a notepad.
With a notepad, yeah.
I'm
just
like,
everything they did wrong. No, I'm just kidding. There were
yeah.
actually a couple like miscues with Lion King at the dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's going to be.
Mistakes happen on Broadway.
Yeah, like that's okay. Like that's going to be kind of the thing, especially in the first couple like days. Like we've gone how long? A year and a half without these huge pieces
yeah.
just like staying in one place. Like that's not good, and there are going to be mistakes.
Yeah, and like this, everyone had these routines.
Yeah,
that they need to relearn, and they've had what a week, 2 weeks
yeah.
to do it.
Yeah,
so
but yeah, what shows? What to wrap this up? What show are you most looking forward to seeing? What show are you like kind of hoping to do research on, but also trying to be entertained?
I think Waitress in Hadestown. I think I just really want to see those
yeah.
again. Because Waitress with Sarah Bareilles. I mean,
it's
come
in,
on.
Yeah, I mean, you can't.
And we've talked.
Everybody
about
here
it.
Knows that I'm obsessed with Waitress.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
Sarah Bareilles' version of it.
He talks about it nonstop.
I do. I have to. I. It's so magical. It's like actually like magical.
And also Hadestown is just
yeah.
incredible.
But like, what about the new shows? Like, are there any new shows that you're really interested
them.
In? Okay, that's okay.
I don't think new shows. I think we should stick with the ones that we have and not write anything new.
Oh, well, that's encouraging for us.
Yes.
Yeah. Actors.
You're never going to make
aren't
it.
Working.
Neither are we.
No. That's
no. No. The new Passover is incredible.
Passover is incredible.
I'm excited for Thoughts of a Colored Man. I don't know too many of the other ones that are coming. Music Man. I'm really excited for
yeah.
Music Man. Hugh Jackman.
Sure.
And Sutton Foster. Like,
of
incredible
course.
Performers. It's just, it's going to, and that's not a new show, but it's, I'm so excited for all of it.
Yeah. Just excited for
it's
Broadway
be
to be
great.
Back.
Yeah, I am.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing it. This is that's it. This is it.
This is it.
This is the wrap. Thank you.
So this is what it feels like to be on Take About Podcast.
This is what it feels like to be on Take About Podcast.
Yeah. I haven't known.
Okay.
So long.
I get it.
So long.
Listen, I'm sorry.
What episode is this?
69.
That's so many hours.
That's so many hours.
That's so many hours.
You don't need to tell me. You don't need to tell me. Well, I appreciate you doing this. I appreciate you on a day where you have like three classes and like doing it, just like grinding out everything.
You have classes too.
I know. But just fitting it in and being able to give your advice and wisdom to everyone listening at home. It's been a good episode, and I appreciate you coming on and doing this.
I appreciate you.
I love you.
I love you too.
This is like my stepbrother. Will Ferrell and what's his name?
John C. Reilly. You don't know the other guy's name? You can't just reference the movie as if you know the name.
We're like Oscar and Felix, but I'm Oscar and you're Felix.
What's Oscar and Felix?
It's like these like two like kind of brothers, but like really like roommates, and like one's super clean, one's really dirty, one's this. One's
what the hell are you saying? Are you saying I clean? He told me that cleaning, No. He told me that cleaning is therapeutic for him, which is like what you want in a roommate. And I'm like, yes. That's great. It's sociopathic, but it's great.
So leave the cleaning to me? Is that what you're saying?
I don't leave it to you, though.
I know.
You were gone for a week, I cleaned this whole place. I vacuumed, I swept.
I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you for doing that.
Yeah, I clean.
He does. He tries to. No, like you put it in the effort, and that's all that matters.
Really? Because it sounds like you want me to put in a little more effort.
No, not at all.
Or you want my effort to be better.
No, I was just making a reference that I actually understood, since you like made fun of me for my first reference that completely failed.
What reference were you trying to make?
Stepbrothers.
Oh, I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, but I didn't even know who I was talking about, so it was a fail. Anyways, that's kind of like a day in the life of Oscar and Eli, to be honest. We're just kind of going back and forth. But yeah, I really do appreciate you like sharing your stories and everything. And
always.
Yeah, and just giving your advice. I think this was a great episode that a lot of people will be able to learn from, so... Thank you.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So thanks, everyone, and thanks, everyone, for listening. This is episode 69 of Take a Bow. I hope to see you all next week for episode
Listen to episode 70. 70, 71, 72. Just keep listening.
Just keep listening. Don't stop. And go listen to, like, other ones that you've, like, never listened to before.
Listen to all of them before. You actually can't listen to the 70th one until you listen to all the first 69.
Yes, that is true. That's true.
Yeah, Eli won't let you. He doesn't let me.
Yeah, I actually don't let you. Not in front of me. You're not allowed to listen to any episode in front of me. Okay, you're not. Like, if you're going to listen to this episode tomorrow,
I'm going
to
blast it on my speaker.
I have to be, like, out of the room. I got to be in class.
I'm blasting it on my speaker.
Absolutely not.
I'll put it in your room.
Anyways, goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening. And, yeah, hope to see you all next week. So, stay safe.
Stay safe.
12 women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.